Hey, great to be with you guys this afternoon. It's already 12:12. Great to have every one of you here at Wake. We are finished talking about no one wants to be lonely. We know that no one wants to be lonely now after four messages. And so we are starting a new series today called Salt and Light. Salt and Light. And basically, this series is challenging us, challenging middle schoolers in Dallas, Texas, that, hey, you can make a difference in your home, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your school, wherever you are, you can make a difference with the gospel, by sharing the gospel, by sharing the best news that anyone can ever hear. And so today we're gonna focus on the light aspect of being a light to your friends, to your neighbors, to whoever you come in contact with. So let's start. Can you hear me? Am I good?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's start by asking a question. What are some things that would not work as well without light? Give me some options. Yeah. Walking. Okay. Walking wouldn't work as well without light. Homework, vision, that makes sense. Cooking, cleaning, yeah. Reading, flashlights, yeah. Driving, yeah. Making a pie, cell phones, yeah. Technology. I mean, there's so many things that we need light for them to work properly. You'd trip all over your house if you didn't have lights. Your parents wouldn't be able to drive you anywhere because they wouldn't be able to see where they're going. If we didn't have light at Wake, Wake would look something like this. It would be all dark except for the phones and this one light right up there. Yeah. We don't know how important light is, and you can switch it back on. We don't know how important light is until, you know, it's missing. And here's what we want you to understand this morning about yourself. You, every single one of you Dallas middle schoolers, you are a light. And that's what Scripture calls you. That's what Scripture calls you to do, to be, to shine as a light. So let's read this passage together. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. We'll read it together so we're all paying attention and we're all seeing what Christ himself is saying about you. This isn't some random person he's talking about. If you are a middle schooler who says, hey, I understand what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross in his death and in his resurrection, and I trust in that, this is talking about you. All right, so let's read it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. You are
the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but instead they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Matthew 5:14-16. Good job, guys. These verses are telling us we can make a difference. But here's the problem. Here's what I know some of you are thinking. I'm only 12 years old. I'm only 13 or 14. Maybe you're 15 if you're an older 8th grader. Maybe you're 11 if you're a younger 6th grader. And you're saying, my light isn't really that bright. My light isn't really that important. You know, sharing the gospel, being a light is my parents' job or my small group leader's job or people who work on staff at a church. That's their job. No one wants to listen to me. I'm young. I'm just a kid. No one cares what I have to say. That's the lie that it's easy for us to tell ourselves. But here's the truth. The truth is that your light is just as important as the most famous Christian's light. Your light, 12-year-old human being in this room, is just as important as the most famous Christian's light. Does everyone who knows who Billy Graham is? Let me see your hand if you know who that is. Okay, like half of you, some of you. Okay, so he is, because he's still alive, he's an awesome preacher that would travel all over the world and go to like baseball fields and stadiums, and they would be packed with thousands of people, and he would stand, you know, in this stadium and preach the gospel. and thousands of people would hear the truth about Jesus Christ, and they would come to faith in him. So I imagine in heaven, there are thousands upon thousands of people that will be there because, you know, the Spirit of God worked through this awesome guy as he preached the gospel, and they said, hey, I want to become a Christian, right? And so because of him, thousands are believers. And the truth of that verse that we just read, Matthew 5, 14 through 16, is that you, your light, is just as important as his. You may not stand in a stadium and preach to thousands and thousands of people, but you can sit at in your classroom, you can sit at your lunch table, you can sit in your home, and you can share the gospel with whoever you're surrounded by. So your light is just as important as the most famous Christian's light. And I want to illustrate that with a story today. So we'll be in John chapter 4. So turn there, /click there on your phone, whatever you're doing to get to John chapter 4. And so let me give you a little context of the story. So Jesus and his disciples are on a journey, and the disciples have gone into the town to buy some food, and Jesus decides to stay behind. And he goes into this city called Samaria. And every good Jew knows that you're not supposed to go into this city. The people in Samaria, the Jews didn't like them. They didn't want to hang out with them. They didn't want to make deals with them, any of these things. They wanted nothing to do with them. It would be, for example, let's say we all lived in Dallas. We all lived in the city of Dallas. And we did not like the people that live in Plano. Is there any people that actually live in Plano? None? No one? So let's say she lives in Plano, and we're all like, man, we just don't like Plano, or you, sorry. And so we're going to go to Carrollton, or we're going to go this way. We're going to drive all the way around because we don't want to go to Plano. We don't want to hang out with her. We don't want to see her friends because we just don't like them. This is the situation in Samaria. But Jesus said, I don't care about all of these rules. I'm going anyway. And so he goes to this watering well where there's a woman trying to draw water. Now, there are three things, there are three issues with this lady. First of all, she's sinful, right? The story, if you read John chapter 4 sometime this week, that'll be awesome. It's an amazing story. So she's sinful because she has, in her lifetime, been married to 5 different guys. And when Jesus meets her, she's also living with a 6th guy that isn't her husband. So like, girls, think of your small group leader, like dating 5 different guys in here at some different points. And so they walk in on a Sunday morning to wake, and they're like, oh, hey, date guy number 1. Oh, hey, date guy number 3. Like, it'd be so weird, right? If all 5 of them were in here and, you know, she started to date another guy. So this is the story of this woman. And then, like I just said, she's also a Samaritan. So that means that no one likes her, right? So she's sinful. She's a Samaritan. And the third thing wrong with her is that she was a woman. And so back then in that culture, a woman was kind of like property, basically. Just like you'd have a car, or you'd have a house, or you'd have shoes, you'd have a woman, right? And so a man wouldn't be seen in public just talking to a random woman, right? So these are all the things that are wrong with this lady. And Jesus says, I don't care if she's sinful. I don't care if she's a Samaritan. I don't care if she's a woman. She's someone that needs to understand the truth of the gospel. And so he goes and he tells her, hey, you can experience eternal life. And there's obviously an obvious lesson from that for us as we want to be lights, right? Go where we're not comfortable. Go where it's awkward. Go where most people might not want to go. That's what Jesus did. And so he stands and he shares the gospel with this woman, and that's where we pick up our story. She's understood that she can be saved. Her sin doesn't define her. Her sin doesn't condemn her. She's been set free. She understands all of that. And so in John chapter 4, look with me at verses 28 and 29. John 4:28. says, "Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?'" And so there are two points, two of our three main points that we see in those verses. And the first one is this. This woman, who we can learn from, she took a risk. She took a risk, right? She knows that all the people in this city know the reputation that she has. She's been married 5 times, and she's now living with another guy. All of this stuff, they know all of this. And she knows that they know, and they don't want to talk to her or hang out with her. And she says, "Hey, I'm going to take this risk. I'm going to go because there's some good news that I have to share. I have to share that my sin doesn't define me anymore. I'm not condemned by my sin, that Jesus has set me free." That's the message that she goes back with to her city. She goes and she takes a risk. And the same is true of us, obviously. Taking the risk of being viewed as the awkward kid or the weird kid or the nerdy kid that likes talking about the Bible when no one cares about that. You're going to take a risk when you're telling the story of what Jesus did for you. Right? So that's the first thing we see that she did. She went back into the town and she told them that she had met Jesus. And the second thing that she did is this. She told her story. Right? She said, "Hey, come see this guy. Come see this guy who told me everything that I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Could this be the promised one that we've heard of, prophesied for years and years? Could this be that guy? Because he has told me everything about me, and he never even met me in my life. And he's told me that I can be set free if I trust and believe in him." So she tells her story. And so the challenge for us is for us to become more bold, take the risk, first of all, to share our story. But here's the problem in Dallas, Texas, with you guys. You just don't think that your story is that cool, or that your story is that amazing. You hear what I'm saying? You don't have that radical story. You don't have the story of the woman at the well where you were married to 5 random guys and you're, you know, living with another guy. You haven't gone out and done all of this crazy stuff and Christ rescued you. So you have this exciting testimony. And so the lie that you believe is that my story isn't worth telling. That's a lie that lots of us in the room believe. Because, hey, you're a good regular kid, right? A good regular kid who goes to school, who listens to their parents most of the time, does their homework, you know, does all the right things, goes to small group or, you know, hangs out with good kids, doesn't get in trouble. And so we think, man, that's not much of a story. And that's a lie from the enemy and even from ourselves telling us, hey, don't take that risk. Don't tell that story. No one will care. Because it's like, you know, that's what our culture tells us. We want to hear the exciting story. You know, we go to the movies because we want to hear about and watch robots and tigers and arrows being shot and buildings exploding and transformers and action. And if there's just lots of talking, we're like, ah, this movie is lame. I'm out. Because it's not exciting. That's what culture tells us. And we tell ourselves that about our own story. But here's the reality. If you have a story worth telling, and you do, you tell it often. If you have a story worth telling, you tell it often. Really quick story. Throw up that picture on there. So 2 years ago, I was going on a road trip to a wedding, and one of my friends, he's a pilot. He heard about our plans to road trip and rent a car and go to Alabama to this wedding. And he goes, "You don't have to rent a car. You can just use my $100,000 Porsche Panamera for free." And I'm like, "Sweet." So he gives it to us, and we're driving down 20 or whatever it is to get to Alabama. And we get over under this overpass, and guys were at work up there, and somehow, like a rock flew into the windshield of the car while I'm driving, listening to my Porsche radio, loving my life, and cracks the windshield screen. the windshield. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so I'm so nervous. I'm like, how much does a Porsche windshield cost? Probably 7 times as much as a regular windshield. Like, what am I going to do? So I come out, get out of the car, take a picture, email it to him, fully expecting him to be like, bro, you got to pay for this, all of this stuff. And he emails back and he says, it's all right. It's just a car. Literally, that's what the email said. And he said, I'll take care of it, when I get back. Such a cool story. We went on to the wedding and had another memorable moment that I won't tell you about today. But the point is, that's a fun story, to tell and to share how I got to drive in a $100,000 car for 2 weeks for free. And it was awesome. And so I tell it often, right? And your story of how you became a believer is 100 times more important, more awesome than a story about a car. It really is. And so the lie that we continue to believe is that, hey, if I don't have this radical story of how I was amazingly transformed, then my story isn't worth telling. But here is the truth. God's grace is just as present. Here we go. God's grace is just as present in a good kid's story as it is in a bad kid's story, right? Does that make sense? You think of the bad kid that got in so much trouble and, you can imagine what that looks like. And then they become a Christian and you're like, man, Jesus really transformed their life. But me, I've just been a good kid like my entire life. So my story isn't that awesome. It is. God's grace was as present in the good kid's story as in the bad kid's story. What's the common theme in both of them? God's grace. His grace may have protected you from so much stuff. And his grace rescued them from so many things. But what's common to both of them is that God's grace comes and saves us. And because of his grace, you have a story worth telling. Your story matters. That's such an important point that I hope that, somehow seeps into your brain. Okay, lastly, before we head out of here. So she took a risk, right? She told her story. And thirdly, God did the rest. God did the rest. Let's look at verses 39 through 42 of John chapter 4. Okay, so remember, she went into the village, took a risk, she told her story, and this is what happens. Verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town did what? Believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Did y'all get that? Because of her testimony, hundreds of people, maybe even thousands, who knows? It doesn't matter. Even if it was only one person, many believe because of the woman's testimony. She said, he told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, to Jesus, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. Verse 41. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you have said. Now we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Isn't that crazy? This one person took one risk and told her one story. And many people were like, I want to hear some more about this. And so they go to Jesus and they're like, who are you? And Jesus is like, I'm the Savior of the world. And I can save you of your sins if you just believe in me. And they're all like, sweet, we're going to do this. And so hundreds, maybe even thousands, became followers of Jesus because of one person taking a risk and sharing their story. What if you did that? What if you followed the example of this woman, took a risk, and shared your story, and just allowed God to do the rest? You see, the pressure that we put on ourselves is, hey, if I share my story and they don't become a Christian, then that's lame. I didn't share it right. Maybe I didn't explain it right. We think that we have to do the saving. But that's not our responsibility at all. Our job is to do the sharing. And God's job is to do the saving. So the measure of success when you share your story, when you take a risk, isn't did your friend become a Christian, like right there started crying and went down on their knees and said, I want to become a Christian right now. Maybe that might happen, but probably not. Hopefully it happens at some point in their life, but that's not how you measure that you've been successful in sharing your story and being a light. You just have to be faithful in taking a risk and sharing your story. And let God do the rest. I guarantee you, he will do the rest. It may take 5 months, it may take 5 years, it may take 50 years, who knows? Your responsibility is to be faithful to him. And so here's the last point. If you haven't heard anything else I've said this morning, this is the point that I want you to walk away with. How can you be a light? How can we be a light in our families and in our homes and in our schools and all of this? Your light shines brightest when you take a risk and share your story. Your light shines brightest when you take a risk and share your story. So think about someone that you can share your story with this week. Maybe you should practice sharing your story of how you became a Christian on one of your friends who is a Christian. You know, it's safe and you won't feel as nervous. Maybe that's what you need to do this week. Maybe practice it with your small group leader at group on Wednesday or something. But just be reminded of this, that your light shines brightest when you take a risk like this woman did and share your story. And just watch God do the rest. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the example of this Samaritan woman. We thank you for the example of Jesus, who went where it was uncomfortable and maybe unsafe and all of these different things, and proclaimed your truth to this woman. And we thank you for the example from her in taking a risk and going to the people that knew her and sharing her story of transformation. May we be bold. May we not be discouraged from sharing our story because of, you know, nervousness or feelings of fear of being rejected, but help us to be faithful, to take a risk and share our story. And we trust that you will do the rest. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.